بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We acknowledge that all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who has given us this gift of Iman, that has guided us to this religion of Islam, a religion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen to be the religion out of all other religions that will protect us from the fire of Jahannam, that will grant us entry to Jannah. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who has sent us the best of messengers and the greatest of creation, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the greatest of miracles ever to be sent down on mankind, the Quran al-Kareem. And we are the holders of that book. We are the best of nations because we abide by that book. خَيْرُ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who are eligible to receive this title. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also send His greatest greetings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon his family, and whomsoever might follow his way until the day of Qiyamah. Ameen. Respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not placed us on this earth. He has not placed all the signs for us on this earth, abathan, in vain. He has not created this great creation that we see. He has not created this great creation within ourselves, this very sophisticated way of the body, this very sophisticated body that was designed to place their head on the ground in sujood to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has not created this body and the soul in vain. He has placed us on this earth for a specific purpose. And over Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us about this purpose. The purpose is to be tested on this dunya. To be tested on this dunya to see what our consequences will be in the akhirah. The test is not for Allah to see. The test is for us to see. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows our place, whether it be in Jannah or whether it be in Jahannam wa na'udhu billah. The fact that we are on this dunya is only as a proof for ourselves. An example of a teacher who has seen thousands of students. He sees on the day the student comes, he's playing with his phone, he's on WhatsApp, he's not taking note. And the teacher can already see he's missing a vital part of the introduction. He can see that the student is not going to pass. But it would be unfair to fail him at that incident, at that time. Rather, the teacher warns him, "You, if you carry on like this, you're going to fail." And the teacher knows he's going to carry on like that. But as a proof against himself, as opposed to the teacher said, "I fail you." And he says, "For what? Because you're not going to make this year." And he said, well, that's unfair. He said, "Well, I'll give you a chance." And the end of the year come, he does the same thing. And the teacher said, "I knew you're going to fail. It's just as a proof against yourself." "Oh, I knew you're going to pass. It's just as a proof for yourself." The book of deeds that is constantly being written, it is not for us. It's not for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is for us. As a proof against us. That's why on that day, the mouth will be sealed. And the hands and the mouth will start talking about that which the body used to do. Because there's no excuses today. There's no excuses on the day of Qiyamah. Rather, the proof that will stand is the book of deeds that we have done against ourselves. That's why this Quran is a hujjatan lak aw alayna. Lana aw alayna. The Quran that we read, it's a hujjah for us or it is against us. Depending on if we follow this Quran or if we don't follow this Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who follow the sunnah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, thereby earning Jannah. So we were not placed on this earth for nothing. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim." Afahasibatum. Are you deluded? Do you think? Do you have the slightest idea that أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا? You think we have created you for nothing? This great sophisticated being, this great sophisticated world. Do you think that we have created that for nothing? وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ. And do you think that you will not return from where you came? Do you think that we will not answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah has placed us on this dunya to be tested. so that we can be questioned on the day of Qiyamah. Do we think that we will not return? No, we were created for a purpose. It says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so what is this purpose? لَقَدَ خَلَقُنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدْ. We have created mankind in kabad. What does kabad mean? Kabad means turmoil, corruption, difficulty. That is kabad. We have created mankind in kabad. Allah leaves this mutlaqan. It refers to the dunya. From the very birth of mankind, he faces difficulty. Difficulty in this world. The difficulty of sustaining, looking for rizq. The difficulty that he has to go through, the emotions that he has to go through. Fi kabad. The difficulty that he has to go through to enter the akhirah, the process of death. But the Prophet ﷺ himself said this is a very difficult situation. We have to go through that. The difficulties that one would face in the akhirah, besides that in the grave, fi kabad, mankind was created in, there's no way we can get away from this. So this is the test, Jama'atul Muslimin. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us as well, وَنَفْسِ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا. By the nafs, by the soul, by the ruh, by that being that Allah has created. فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. We have inspired the soul and showed that soul the path to piety, the path of righteousness. We have shown that soul the path of evil. How is this? The Qur'an that was revealed. The Qur'an is not very difficult to accept. If anyone were to be explained something about Islam, it's not something technical, something that he has to think about. That كُلُّ مَوْلُودٍ يُلَدُ عَلَى الْفِطْرَةِ. The fitrah that we were born is to realize and to acknowledge and to accept the message of Islam. Because this is the natural way to accept that Allah is one. Therefore to accept that His message is one. To accept that the Prophet ﷺ is one. Looking around this world, if we don't look in the Quran, the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are numerous, indicating that there must be one being, one perfect being. And then we have to look for one perfect message corresponding to this being. We will find no other book, not the Torah, not the Injil, the only book that is protected. La rayba fihi. There is completely no doubt. If you are looking at this book in a scientific point of view, in a medical point of view, any field that you look at, mathematical, any way you try to challenge this Quran, any way, you will fall flat. If you do find fault in the Quran, then that fault that you are finding is only in your mind. You are seeing something that is not there. The Orientalists that write against Islam, they are seeing things that are not there. Their visions are blurred. One that is looking at this Quran with a pure heart cannot but realize that this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has shown the soul the path to piety and the path of sin. قَدَ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. The outcome of our life, the outcome of our relationships, the outcome of all our stresses, of all our effort on this dunya, the outcome is one of two. There's no third option. قَدَ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. Simple. The one who purifies the soul. How do we purify the soul? In the obedience of Allah. Purifying the soul in terms of tawheed. Believing in Allah and His Rasul. That is lip service. And then doing nothing to negate that we said that. We cannot say that and then commit shirk in the same process. So قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. In the obedience of Allah. وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. That is how Allah explains the consequences of our life. Our akhirah, everything we deem to be so great, Allah describes this in two verses. If you purify the soul, you are successful. If you do not purify the soul, you spoil the soul with sin and without tawbah, then. If you think of a Jama'atul Muslimin, one that is not successful on this dunya, yes, it is a great test. Dunya is a great test. But it is not a test that we cannot fulfill. Not for a Muslim. Not with all the aid that we have. Not with Laylatul Qadr in Ramadan and the bar that is open for tawbah if we do make a sin. How is it possible for us to die with one sin if we making tawbah every day? It is too easy to attain Jannah by following the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But by following our own desires, our own understanding of Quran and not looking at the understanding that Allah intends, it is very, very easy to go astray. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not make us of those people. Ameen. In another short verse, Allah describes the consequences of this of our lives and our efforts. Fariqun fil Jannah wa fariqun fi sa'ir. It is simple. There's a group in Jannah, there's a group in Jahannam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not make us of those that would enter Jahannam at all. Ameen. So what is this path to Jannah that Allah has inspired for his slave? What is the way to Jannah? Today, it's a bit confusing. One can become confused. We are living in an age of information and technology. If we want to know something, we can Google it. The internet is there. Anything we want to know, we can get qila wa qal. This one said this one said that. We can get it on the internet. We can even download certain sermons of fatwas that we are looking for. But this can be very dangerous. How do we sift through this one and that one? How do we know which one is right and which one is wrong? How do we stick to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when one is saying the Prophet did this and the other is saying the Prophet did that? There is a way of sifting through this. And this safest way to do is to follow like thousands have done. Are you going to follow the opinion of one man? One man reading a hadith in Bukhari, he understands something because he knows some Arabic. He studied 10, 20 years. And he goes contrary to thousands of people that have studied 80 years. Scholar after scholar, it is safer to stick to that which thousands have said. And therefore you have your four madahib. This is a way of sifting through what is haram and what is not haram. The madhab is an aid. The madhab is a way to make it easy for us to follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Naam. So what is the path to Jannah? The path to Jannah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam describes in the hadith that everyone will enter Jannah, famous hadith, except those who refuse. And the Sahaba asked, will refuse Jannah? How is this possible? Because there is cause and effect. In this world, there is cause and effect. If you want Jannah, you have to walk that path. And the path to Jannah is in the obedience of Allah. The path in the obedience of the Rasul and Allah. The path to Jahannam is straying away from that path. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us on the Sirat al-Mustaqim. So what we learn from this hadith, Jamaat al-Muslimin, that to attain Jannah, we need to do righteous deeds. We need to do good deeds to stick on this path of the Sirat al-Mustaqim. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after taking an oath by the night and that which it covers, by the day as it brightens. وَمَا خَلَقَ الذَّكَرُ وَالْأُنْثَى. Everything that Allah has, the one who has created mankind. إِنَّ سَعْيَكُمْ لَشَتَّى. Indeed, your strivings on this dunya. We are all striving. Everyone is created in kabad. There is no exclusion to this. لَقَدَ خَلَقُنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَد. There is a striving, there is a stress that each and everyone in this masjid have. Whether that be of our business, whether that be with regards to our children, whether that be of something that we've done in the past. There is a turmoil. There is something that we are striving for. But the striving is lashatta. It's completely diverse. Some people are striving and they are working so hard, but they are striving in the wrong direction. Wa na'udhu billah. فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى. As for the one who is giving sadaqah and the one who is pious, وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى. The one who believes, sadaqah, he believes, he deems the akhirah to be truthful. He deems maut, malik al-maut, to be truthful. The two angels that will question him, he deems that to be truthful. The one who ponders in the scale which our deeds will be weighed, the day that the one that ponders and believes about the yawmul hisab, that person, saddaqa bil husna, he believes in the bliss that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised us as believers. Obviously that one, that particular individual, he has yaqeen, he will strive for that. فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى. For this person, we will make it easy for him to obey Allah. If you believe the higher degree of your certainty, it's easier to obey Allah. And on the contrary, وَمَنْ بَخِلَ وَاسْتَغْنَى. The one who is stingy. And he seeks himself to be independent. He thinks that his aql is sufficient. Our aql is not sufficient, Jamaat Muslimin. Even if we work out something and we understand something analytically, it's not sufficient. We need the divine guidance of Allah. We can be the cleverest person in the entire world. Look at rocket scientists. Some of the most cleverest people that is deemed to have the highest of IQs in the world, they are kafir. They cannot accept that there is an Allah. Because he thinks that his mind is independent. This is how he fools himself. This is how shaitan fools himself. We need the divine guidance. وَكَذَّبَ بِالْحُسْنَى. And such a person would deny that there is an akhirah, that there is a jannah. Therefore, he follows anything that will benefit him only on this dunya. May Allah not make us of those people. Ameen. Jamaatul Muslimin, from this verses, what do we learn? We learn that success. Success is for the one who does good deeds. Jannah is dependent on good deeds and the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is dependent on belief. Secondly, what we learn from these verses is that this Jannah, this path of good deeds, having a good will is not simply enough. We need the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need hidayah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need the divine guidance. We cannot think that we are independent from Allah. Foolish is that individual that thinks he will attain success in this world and in the akhirah without calling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance. It is something that we do every day, and it is something that we should ask Allah with sincerity to keep us on the sirat al-mustaqim and not take it for granted that we are of those individuals. May Allah protect us. Ameen. So Jamaatul Muslimin, acknowledging and realizing the fact that the best that we can be as individuals, the best that we can be without the help of Allah is nothing. It's failures. We realize that we are weak, and because of that, we need to make dua. This is the importance of dua. Because by making dua, we teach and we remind ourselves that we are in need of Allah. We take it for granted that we're going to eat lunch this afternoon. Therefore, we don't ask Allah for our rizq anymore. This is how shaitan starts deluding us. This is the deception of this dunya. And ultimately, one thing leads to another. And we think that we don't need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala anymore. So the power of dua and the importance of dua is to remind us Allah does not need our dua. Allah doesn't need our dua in order to send rizq. He sends rizq irrespective. We know that. Because this entire dunya is sustained by Allah. Some make dua, some don't. But it's to remind ourselves. Every action of the slave, every action, salah, zakah, no matter what we do, it is not for Allah at all. It benefits us. It is only for us. So realizing this, Jamaatul Muslimin, we realize the importance of calling upon Allah. So it is through these prayers, through these du'as, that we learn our dependency on Allah. Now, Jamaatul Muslimin, a person only asks for that which he needs. A person only make du'a, he calls, he asks for that which concerns him, for that which is worrying to him now. If somebody asks you for something, you know that is bothering him. You know that's a concern. He won't ask you for help if he doesn't need help. So, knowing this fact, if we look at the way that Allah has taught us in the Quran how to make du'a, if we look at the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we look at the hadith, the du'as that he has made, what we learn from the hadith is what worried the Prophet, what concerned the Prophet, because this would be expressed in his du'a. And by learning that, we know what should really concern us, which is of benefit to us. And by looking in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us what we should be concerned about by means of teaching us what du'a to make. So we find the Prophet seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from refuge of bad conduct, of giving the wrong qada, of being in the dependency of people, of being overpowered by debt, asking Allah for his mercy, various du'as. And through this du'as, we realize what we should ask for and what we should strive for in this dunya. So what I want to highlight today in the next 5 to 10 minutes is a particular du'a. There are many du'as. There are many, many du'as. But this one du'a is very comprehensive. Very, very comprehensive. It's a du'a that most of us know. We make it every day. I want to highlight this. Why? Because by a greater understanding or reflecting or even reminding us, we find that when we know something, we might have knowledge about something, but when somebody else says it, something that we know, it reminds ourselves. Even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when a certain sahaba that he instructed to recite, he told the sahaba, "That's enough. You have brought me now to tears." Why didn't the Prophet cry before that? Because to hear the truth on somebody else, this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has designed this deen. So what is this dua? What is a comprehensive dua? There's a dua that only restricted for this dunya, and there's one that is restricted for the akhirah. And we should make sure that we are asking for both. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights this fact when speaking about the rituals of Hajj, which we have just come out of that season now. فَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَا يَقُولُ رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً فِي الدُّنْيَا وَمَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَاقٍ. Some people only ask things for this dunya. One man asks Allah for a car, but there's nothing for him in the akhirah. Another man asks Allah for that same car, but for him there's a great reward in the akhirah as well. Why? Because that one man's vision was restricted to this dunya. He just wants to drive from A to B. The other man's vision was in aid, in an assistance to help me fulfill my obligations, so I can drive to the masjid, so I can get from A to B, so I can look for rizq with that aid of that car. So our du'as must never be restricted to this dunya. Always we look to the akhirah. So what is this du'a? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Furqan, where he mentions, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَانَ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ إِلَى الْآخِرِ الْآيَةِ. The slaves of Allah, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَانَ. The Ibad al-Rahman, then Allah mentions many qualities of them. Many qualities of Ibad al-Rahman. But what is so special about Ibad al-Rahman? Nobody can enter Jannah because of their deeds alone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through their deeds, through the sincerity of their deeds, through their strivings, Allah would reward them with rahmah. And rahmah is the key to Jannah. You cannot enter Jannah without the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you have done everything that is requested of you, but the sincerity is not there, and Allah does not give you rahmah, you cannot enter Jannah. But if somebody has done very little deeds, but that deeds was done with such sincerity, Allah grants him rahmah, he enters the higher place of Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those people who attain the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this Ibadur Rahman, Allah mentions various qualities of them. But one of the qualities is Alladina, those who... So who is those who? This is the Ibadur Rahman. Those who are entitled to get the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who are entitled to earn the Jannah of Allah. Alladhina yaquluna rabbana, oh our Lord, rabbana, making dua. Habalana min azwajina, grant for us, habalana, grant us min azwajina, from our spouses, wa dhurriyatina, and from our children, qurrata a'yun, coolness of the eye. Grant them, let them be a coolness of the eye. وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا, and make for the muttaqeen, make them a leader. This is a very, very comprehensive dua, Jamaat Muslimin. Let's look at this. What is Allah instructing us or teaching us to ask for? Grant us from our spouses and our children. Again, who is this going to benefit? Is it going to benefit Allah in the least? It's going to benefit us. This is what we should aspire for. This should be on our agenda. This should be our priority. To be of the Ibadur Rahman, when we make this dua, we think of this. Grant from our spouses and our children, so our wives, and likewise the supply from the wife to the husband, spouses, and from our children, and our children's children, our progeny, because we want to leave Sadaqatul Jariyah, something that will benefit us in 100 years from now. In 500 years time from now, when we're pushing up more than daisies, we're pushing up trees already. Then we want a child of our, a son of our son, somehow. He's still making ibadah, and that deed is still going on, and we're still getting reward. This is what we want. So, our spouses, what is a good spouse? What is something that should please us in our spouse? We look for various things. What should we look for in a spouse? What should we look for in our wives? Through all those qualities that is found in our wives, through everything that we love, there must be one thing. Tasurru idha nazara. She should please him when he looks at her, it should be pleasing. Why? Because she is in the obedience of Allah. She reminds him that this dunya is a means to get to the Akhirah. Just like she will please him in the Akhirah as well. May Allah grant us spouses like that. تُعْطِيهِ إِذَا أَمَرَ She would obey him. She obeys him when he commands him in that which he can. When he commands her to put on a hijab, then she obeys him. When he commands her, don't go to that place, there's haram there. She obeys him. In everything that he can command her, which is halal, she obeys him. وَتَحْفَظُ إِذَا غَابَ She protects his honor. She don't ghiba about him. My husband is like this and my husband is like that. And the husband to the wife as well. They don't make ghiba about each other. They protect each other's wealth and they protect each other's honor in the absence. And they will assist one another. How very few are those spouses that assist one another in the obedience of Allah. A good wife is a wife that says, it is time to go to the masjid. A good wife is one that would say, we are suffice. We suffice ourselves for that which is halal. Don't bring us meat. Don't bring us money that was earned in a haram way. Don't bring us money that is attained through riba in the bank or through a certain policy when you die. Don't bring us that. We don't want that millions. We want the gold. We want money that is not going to go up on this dunya. We want wealth that will go through to the akhirah. Very few are those spouses that encourage one another. When the husband goes out, don't bring us haram. Bring us halal. Hunger we can suffice with. Patience we can suffice with. But the disobedience and the anger of Allah, this is something you don't bring into our house. So we should assist one another in the obedience of Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those. Because we know that it is our spouses that can assist us with good and help us to be the best we can. And we know also, if it's not like that at home, then the day is spoilt and we're not the best that we can be. May Allah grant us the understanding. May He grant us the best in this dunya. Ameen. The best of spouses. It is these same spouses that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الدنيا متاع وخير متاع الدنيا المرأة الصالح. The best of goods on this world is a suitable spouse. And if we look in the sphere of Islam only, it would be a pious wife and a pious spouse. A husband to the wife and the wife to the husband. So Jamaatul Muslimin, through everything we can love about our spouses, for those who are not married, for everything that you look for in a spouse, Jameel is one, beauty is one thing. Richness is another thing. It is beneficial. It makes life easy. Her lineage, she comes from that particular family. She's from this family, from that family. Yes, that is one thing. But the Prophet ﷺ advises us, the most important of this is the deen. It is her piety and her taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we speak about deen, we're not just speaking about the ahkam, this we must do, this we mustn't do. We're speaking about the character. How often is that lost, the character of Islam? Where salah is being made, zakah is being given, but there is depression. The honor of the man and the honor of the female is not upheld. Because the character is not there anymore. The character that the Prophet ﷺ came to perfect is not there. So when a lady has this quality, good will rub off. It will rub off on the man. And the man will reflect that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that. Ameen. Says Nabi Muhammad ﷺ, مَسْتَفَادُ مُؤْمِنْ بَعْدَ taqwa, تَقْوَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ خَيْرًا لَهُ مِنْ زَوْجَةٍ صَالِحَةٍ The best thing after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after the taqwa, the best thing that will benefit you on this dunya and the akhirah, is a pious wife. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us those. Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those people who are pious. Ameen. It is these people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us. فَالصَّالِحَاتُ The pious. قَانِتَاتُ Devoted. حَافِظَاتٌ Protecting. لِلْغَيْب In the husband's absence. And likewise, the husband to the wife. بِمَا حَفِظَ اللَّهُ Says Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مِنْ سَعَارِتِ ibn Adam, from the good things in this world that brings you good luck, is a pious wife, a good home, and a good vehicle. And bad luck is the exact opposite. May Allah grant us this. Ameen. In this particular verse that I've read, this dua, I will conclude now. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us, grant us from our spouses, and then also from our children. What is the best gift that we can give to our child? We know that on the top, and the highest of agenda, if you speak to all the elderly, they say respect has been lost. Speak to the teachers, speak to any educated. They say the respect is going down. The problem that arises, or the primary problem, is not the respect. Respect doesn't come from the father. Respect doesn't come from the mother. As a matter of fact, we are not eligible to receive the respect that we want. Except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it to us. If Allah did not give this to us, then we would not be due to it. So the respect that is due to the father and the mother is because Allah demands that of the child. So the problem does not lie in teaching your child manners. The problem lies in teaching your child education, an Islamic education. Teach your child and give them a good Islamic education. It is always, by the way, 5-6 hours spent in school, half an hour in madrasa, he's late, he forgot the Quran, and it also stops when we go to high school, and it goes completely away when we go to varsity, thinking that that foundation was enough. And we ask ourselves, why is the children so disrespectful? Quran, Islamic, is a solid education. You cannot even put your child in a Hafid school and think he's going to be safe there. You have to look at the teacher. Is that environment conducive for an Islamic education? It has to be something that is not just done haphazardly. This is something research is required. And the final part of the dua, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and make for us, for the muttaqeen, make an imam. When does this come? When does Allah say we should make this? Make for the muttaqeen, those who have taqwa, an imam. After reforming your own family, after reforming our spouses, and ourselves, and our children. Kullukum ra'in, we are all shepherds, we will ask about that which Allah has given us authority over. So once reforming that, then we ask Allah, make for us an imam. From the muttaqeen. And the muttaqeen develops where? At home. Very often we find we don't like this lecture. We don't like this imam. We don't like that teacher. We don't like that alim. We don't like that maulana. We don't like the way this class is conducted. It's very easy to say that, but we have to realize that we have to play our part in producing ulama. The best of ulama is from the location. A community has to come together. Why is it that ulama is going from door to door? We find, go to the ulums. If you give them food for the day, they're grateful because they don't have. If you assist them with their rent, they're grateful because they don't have. These are the best of people. And we find, yet we are the same people that say, you shouldn't have said that, you shouldn't have teached like that, or this class is not conducted properly. Why is it like that? If we want a true leader, Jamaatul Muslimin, it doesn't matter, we can get the Sheikh from Al-Azhar, or from Medina, or from the Sheikh of Makkah. He is not from us. He don't understand our struggles. He doesn't understand our language and our environment. The best of rulers comes from ourselves. One that we saw grow up. But unfortunately, we chase them away. We make life difficult for them. We tell our son, okay, you want to study deen, but just know, if you're going to study deen, you're not going to get that car. You're going to drive a tasawuf car. The one without the engine, the help me traps. You're going to have a difficult life. You're not going to buy a house. You're going to stay in a shack. So you make your own decision. I'm just saying, you make your own decision. Forcing that child, and then we want leaders, and then we want good hufal, we want our children to recite. It is something called the aflaha man, the person who is successful. Success, falah, is one who strives for success and achieve it. He's the one who purifies himself. It starts at home. It starts with reforming ourselves, our spouses, our children, and then looking into the interest of those who are studying deen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. May grant us the understanding. May make us of those people who reform ourselves, our wives, and our children. Make up of those people who are the muttaqeen. May make us of those people who produce good leaders and good ulama. Wa akhiru ta'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.